Our scripture today, y'all, we have three. And as we go into this mental health awareness month, our scripture, first scripture comes from Acts chapter 17. In him we live, we move, and have our being. And one of the promises of Jesus, and we are so thankful for it, is in John 10:10, where Jesus says, I have come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we get to experience it by going to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Somebody say, I trust in God. Yes, sir, brother, I trust in God. And our focus today, as we start this May series on mental alignment in Yahweh, we're going to ask us, and we're going to talk about how we can focus on Christ. Somebody say, focus on Christ. And Brother Alfie says to us that May is recognized as Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's a time that we get to be honest. Somebody say, be honest. Be honest about what's going on in our minds and our emotions. It's a time to check in with ourselves and stop pretending. Somebody say, stop pretending. Let's stop pretending that everything is fine when it's not. I think there is a time that we call those things which be not as though they were. But there's also a time when we have to admit something's going on. And God is not calling us to just notice what's wrong, but to bring that thing into alignment with him for healing. Because God desires not that we just survive. As a matter of fact, God has not called us to survive. God has called us to be more than conquerors, and that we live whole, free, and in the fullness of life. And y'all, through him, we are truly more than conquerors. If you believe that, put your hands together this morning. So this is a special topic for me, because I love the idea of mental health and spirituality and how they go together. And deconstructingastigma.org says that there is a connection between spirituality and mental health. We can't separate them. Spirituality encompasses the personal experiences, beliefs, and practices that connect us to something, and we know that something is Jesus, something greater than ourselves. And no matter what it is, whether we are going and worshiping together, whether we're in some form of meditation, mindfulness, or different forms of reflection, and we have to acknowledge our spirituality and how our spirituality and mental health goes together. Mental health involves that emotional, psychological, and social well-being, and how it affects how people think and feel and act in daily life. And research shows that spirituality and mental health are strongly related. Higher levels of spiritual engagement is how we are able to look at, respond to, and cope with our mental health or emotional issues. And whenever we are connected spiritually, there's a higher probability for a lower probability of depression and anxiety, because so many of our scriptures relate to deep symptoms of depression, anxiety, and we're told, be anxious for nothing. So in the scripture, we're invited to cast our cares on him, for he cares for us. And so whenever we get more spiritual and bring Jesus into the situation and call his name, we have improved coping strategies. And overall, we have a greater well-being. Do y'all believe that? So we have, in him we live and move and have our being. Jesus has come that we may have life and life more abundantly. And we will be in perfect peace when we keep our minds on him. So this is like a piece of the puzzle. And these scriptures we are using as a piece of the puzzle because it helps us to remember, help us to stand on, and help us to know this much, that Jesus is Lord. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. So whenever we address mental alignment with Yahweh and focusing on Christ, I want to give you two sets of three A's where we can address this. Because mental health is real, and our spirituality, our spirit, our emotions, and our mentals are closely aware that they are connected. Being aware that our mental health is really a good thing for us to check in on. Addressing these things, whatever it is, address it. And we are allowing God, allowing the opportunity for these situations, circumstances, disappointments to be brought to the presence of God. The other three words are anointing, alignment, and ascending. So what does this look like? When we think of awareness from the perspective of a spiritual healing perspective, awareness is having the knowledge or a perception that we are in a situation. I am aware that something is not going on the way it needs to be. I am aware that I really do need some help here more than prayer. Because we don't say, we know that prayer is the key to the kingdom and faith unlocks the door. But every now and then we need more. And Jesus is our counselor. And so we go to Ephesians 5:4 because awareness is like awakening. And so we're told in Ephesians 5:4, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, we have to wake up to the fact that something is going on, whatever that something is. We raise from the dead because sometimes that situation that we may be in, it may be a dead or toxic situation. And addressing things, that just means we are thinking about this thing and we begin to deal with it. I'm addressing it. I have whatever this situation is. I don't like to call things out all the time. But whatever the situation is, I may have a problem budgeting. I may have a problem with my weight. I may have a problem with my anger. I may have a problem with self-esteem. Whatever those things are, whatever the issue of the problem is, we are reassured in Isaiah 41:10, where God tells us, fear not. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're ready to address, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. How many of you know God is your God? God is our God, and he will strengthen us, and he will help us, and uphold us. Yeah, there's a place where it says, uphold me. Psalm 51 says, uphold me in thy free spirit. Whatever you do, Lord, don't take your joy from me. So we know that we are being upheld while we are facing and addressing whatever's going on with us. And when we allow, somebody say, I allow. I allow. I admit the truth. I'm taking responsibility for what part I've played in this situation. I take responsibility for saying, you know what, it's time for me to do something. I need God, and not only do I need God, I need a little bit more help than that. Because James 5:13 tells us, if there's anyone among you, if there's anyone in trouble, it doesn't say what the trouble may be. He says, if anyone is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And sometimes we may not be able to sing that song. Like they say, sometimes you just have to moan. And it also, when we're also told that the Spirit groans for us because we don't even have the words sometimes. Somebody say, I don't even know what the words are to say. But guess what, Brother Jerry? We trust in God. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do what? Lean not to our own understanding. Y'all, sometimes we really can't understand. There are some things that Brandon do, or that he can do. I don't understand. Bless his heart, I know he'd be scratching his head looking at me going, what? Sometimes we just don't understand. And so, according to Proverbs 3:5, we seek God for direction to reinforce the idea, the principle of surrendering all things to him so that we can embrace understanding. And how do we do it? How do we become aware? How do we address, and how do we allow it? We do it through the anointing. Somebody say the anointing. How many of you know that the anointing destroys the yoke? And it says in Isaiah 10:27, and he quotes Isaiah in Luke 4:18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, that doesn't necessarily mean financially poor, but it could be mentally poor, emotionally poor, spiritually poor. And to claim and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and in him we know that we are more than enough, and his favor rests upon us. So we know. And so through the anointing, we are spiritually, with the presence of God, we are empowered, and we are experiencing the presence of the Holy Ghost to come upon us and to equip us for whatever we have to do. Somebody say, I'm anointed. Therefore, I'm equipped. We have to remember these things. This is how the mental and the spiritual come together. And then we have the alignment. And we're told in Romans 12:2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Somebody say, what kind of mind? The mind of Christ. And so this right here lets us know, if we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that's a spiritual and mental act, is it not? And so if we're going to live according to divine principles and commands and be brave enough and bold enough and strong enough, you've got to have something in, we have to have something in us to say, as Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done. Do we believe it can be on earth as it is in heaven? In our hearts, in our minds, in our situations. And this is us given the opportunity for God to line us up. Somebody said, line me up, Jesus. And then we can ascend. Somebody say, ascend. When we ascend, that is when we are elevated. That is whenever we rise up. And sometimes it can be literal. God can literally elevate us. You may be promoted on a job. You may get a new home. Or all kinds of elevations can come. We're elevated in the spirit as well. Because why? We can boldly come through to the throne of grace. You know, sometimes you feel kind of scared and kind of nervous about coming before God with these situations. But when we start ascending, we can boldly approach God. And then Psalms 24 and 3 tells us, only those with clean hands and a pure heart can ascend to the holy hills of God. So when we think about how these three A's come together for us, if we want to experience awareness and we want to be aware, be able to address what's going on and allow the Lord to be present, we have to call on the anointing. Just remember, the anointing destroys the yoke. Somebody say it. The anointing destroys the yoke. That's what empowers me to get into alignment with what God's truth is for me. Somebody say, the will of God. Karen Clark Sheard says, the safest place is in the will of God. And then we can ascend and we can be right there with him, because why? That's how we focus on God. And then we get to Yahweh, the Hebrew name of God. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit be hooking us up. Somebody say, what's his name? We call him Jesus. But the Hebrew names for God, according to the Jewish people, is Yahweh. Because they feel that his name, whatever that name is too sacred to be spoken. And these are vowels that sound uncertain. But somebody say, I don't say like my brother. I like to call him Jesus. Okay? Somebody say Jesus. 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 And y'all know we got to have an acronym up in here. Somebody say up in here. So Yahweh for us today means, Yahweh means yearning, alignment, honor, welcoming, and embracing holiness. Somebody say, I yearn, I allow, I honor, I welcome, I embrace holiness. Y'all know why? Because back to Isaiah 26:3, he will keep us in perfect peace. When we yearn for him like the deer panting at the brook, he's there with us. When we align and say, not my will, but thy will be done, we are honoring God. And whenever we come to God, guess what, y'all? God honors our obedience. And like John P. Key says, he'll welcome me. When we welcome him, he welcomes us. He's already welcomed us. But whenever we make a positive, intentional decision to welcome him into whatever our situation is, we embrace that holiness. And we embrace holiness, and we are embraced by holiness. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, one more thing about going to therapy. Y'all, I am for therapy. And I'm going to be transparent and honest with y'all. When I had to start taking care of my mama, and boy, oh boy, that was something other else to behold. Beep, 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 beep. I don't know if it was 911, 211, 311, 811, help me Jesus, 11. But I had to get me some therapy to be able to handle it and separate myself from the situation. So the way we boldly go before the throne of grace, somebody please repeat after me. Say, boldly go to therapy. No more shame. No more shame. Because we are told here in Hebrews 12:2, we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, listen to this, y'all. He endured the cross and despised or conquered the shame. Somebody say he endured the cross. And I'm saying he conquered the shame. Somebody say he conquered the shame. A lot of mental health is shame. If Jesus has already covered them, if Jesus didn't stand in shame, why should we? We have to remember that. And I think it's important. And I'm here to tell you, no more tough love. Who came up with that? No more tough love. The only sign of tough love I can remember Jesus giving was when he flipped that table and whooped them people. So you're going to have to do something real wild for them to come with you on the tough. And we don't have to any longer deal with tough love because why? It doesn't get any tougher than the cross. So let's think about what we're saying when we're saying tough love. No more tough love. Somebody say, try therapy and compassion. Why? Because through therapy and compassion, we can say, I am attached to the spiritual. And because I'm attached to the spiritual, I'm detached from the physical. Some things we have to detach from because these things may be causing us mental anguish. And then there's a delightful group on campus at Clemson called CAPS, Counseling and Psychological Services. CAPS. Ask somebody, do you need CAPS? If you need CAPS, it's okay. Because counseling and psychological services is where Jesus can meet us to destroy the yoke. And that's why we say we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. Sometimes we need some help. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. When we start going down and we are aware, like we say, this is mental health month, mental health awareness month. When we really stand there and we're honest and let the anointing start working, we can say, I go to therapy. I go to therapy. We might have to say, whatever is going on with us? What is OCD? What is paranoia? What is depression? What is anxiety? And we can also say, I'm coping with depression, but hey, I don't like that one too much. I'm navigating through it. I'm navigating through it. And sometimes we have to be careful who we tell our business to. Say to somebody, you matter. You matter. Sometimes we have these experiences because we don't feel like we're important. But God is here to let you know, yes, okay. And I'm reading and talking at the same time. It's okay. Somebody say this. It's okay to not be okay. We're giving one another permission to just be honest. Somebody say, honor your truth. We have to honor our truth. And we might have to say, let's talk. And remind people, you are not alone. Our sisters, our brothers may not be there for us, but Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And whenever we're going through the spiritual blanket that we can wrap ourselves around when we become overwhelmed, I love this graphic. Somebody say, yay though, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. So no matter where we go, no matter how dark it may seem, no matter if we're feeling shadows of the valley rather than recognizing we are dwelling in the shadow of the Most High, just remember, I will fear no evil. He is with me. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. That's what therapy can help us to do. It helps us. It gives us some tools in how we can wait. Sometimes silence is good. Be still and know that I am God. That's waiting. And sometimes we might need some professional help on how I need to wait. Because my soul, my God, my soul is having a moment. And so my hope is in him and is from him. Y'all know why? Because he alone is our rock and our salvation. Y'all know that? He is my fortress. And guess what, y'all? Even though we be maybe wobbling or whatever and it feels kind of funny, say at the same time, I shall not be shaken. No, I shall not be shaken. And then if it's really kind of dark, because you know they say the darkest hour is just before day, recognize you might be right before day. And you may be having a Job experience. And Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I will maintain my own ways before him. Whenever we get to that place where we can say, yet I will trust him. All kind of beautiful things start to happening, don't they? Somebody say, I trust in God. My Savior. Yes, he is. Because, y'all, we are called. We are chosen. And this is the right time. And my brother over here said earlier today, God comes through. He said every single time. Somebody say EST. Not just Eastern Standard Time, but every single time. Every single time God comes through. That's why we glorify him. That's why we trust in him. Somebody say, that's why I trust him. And that's why we can keep our mind of Christ and he can give us that perfect peace. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And we can cast our cares. And he gives us strength for today and hope for tomorrow. How many know that he is faithful? Great is thy faithfulness. And that's how we are built up. That's how we become resilience. That's how we stay rooted. Somebody say, I'm rooted in God's love. Yes, brother, we rooted in the name of Jesus. And it's because we have a great God. Somebody say, I have a great God. I have a great God. Stand on your feet, House of Judah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for being so dependable, for being the rock that is higher than we are, the one that never ever fails, and that lets us know, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He might even give us some medication. He works through us for our good in all ways. So somebody say, go to therapy. If we have these, as I close, as we have nowadays, you got to go and have something checked out once a year. Women have their exams that they have to take once a year. Men have theirs that they have to take once a year. Once we get to a certain age, things have to be checked. More and more things we ain't thought about, they got to be checked. But you know what I think is amazing? I'll kill a car if you don't check the oil. Somebody, I'm telling you, I killed my rodeo like that, y'all. If you don't check the oil in your car, it will lock down. And that's what I am inviting us to think of, what therapy looks like for us. If we're going to have all of these other things checked out, let's check out our heart. How you going to go through your whole life? How you going to drive a car and drive a car and drive a car and not have the oil checked? Not change the oil. So I am saying, I'm giving you permission. Don't let stigmatisms keep you from getting the best of the best that you can have. If you check your all, check your mind, because it's important. It doesn't mean that you don't trust God. That may be the place where we come and have a different kind of experience with God that we didn't even know was available. Amen. As it regards that, y'all remember, he endured the cross. He conquered the shame. So repeat after me. Let God conquer the shame. Doesn't matter whoever I'm talking to in this building, whoever's watching, whoever's listening, let God conquer that shame. For the month of May, that might be what's causing the depression. And here's another thing real quick, y'all. Y'all remember spiritual elimination, spiritual extraction. Y'all, when God takes things out of us, when God eliminates, it might show up as depression. It may show up as anxiety, because we don't have a spiritual definition for these things. So what do you call it? That spiritual purge, that spiritual cleanse, that spiritual elimination. Consider, it may not necessarily be depression. God ain't gonna tell us every time what he's pulling out of us. And guess what? When you feel kind of woozy and fatigued, you just don't feel like going nowhere. How many times have you ever had surgery or a tooth pull without being anesthetized? So if you're feeling kind of awkward and you're just not there, I would like to share with you, you might be having a spiritual extraction. And you can't just move any kind of way whenever you're in spiritual surgery. So I want to give that to y'all today. Try therapy. And gracious and merciful God, we come to you thanking you.